Okay, well today this is going to be session 64 and the professional learning community for environmental job training and workforce development. Today we're going to be talking about curriculum, and before we start talking about curriculum and where to get it and what kind of curriculum to have, we'll just make a couple of announcements. Of course, at this point, everybody's aware that the grant proposals have been submitted, and according to their schedule, those who have not met the qualifying criteria will probably have been notified by now. Those of you who have not heard from EPA, it's going to be a little while. They've got lots of work to do. The contractors have to go through all the grants and make copies of everything, and then they have to assemble their review committees, and they'll be working on that for the next 2 months. So hopefully we'll be hearing something from EPA in probably July, and we're planning, hopefully the awards will be in July-August time period, and then people will be able to get their program started, and then we're going to be having a all grantee workshop later. Glo, do you want to talk a little bit about just how the workshop is shaping up?
Sure. Invitations to all the grantees and to all EPA people went out two, three weeks ago. We've had some people register, but there will be a lot more. Typically, we have right around 120 people that attend this annual meeting. This year's meeting will be held in Alexandria, Virginia, and it will be held at the Hilton on October 1st and 2nd.
Great. And, of course, this year, as last year, we're going to have that special session. Is that correct with NIHS?
Yeah, there will be a safety session on Monday. The dates of the workshop, October 1st and 2nd, is a Monday and a Tuesday. The grantee meeting actually does not start until 6 p.m. on Monday evening, and then it goes all day Tuesday. So during the afternoon on Monday from 11 to 4, NIHS will be putting on a safety workshop for the grantees, and that's an optional piece, so people need to register for that separately, but it's all included in the invitation.
Okay, great. And that's a great thing to attend because it'll give you a good appreciation for not only what NIHS is doing, but the intricacies and nuances of health and safety training and how to keep your people safe. Another couple of things to announce. At this point, there is any of you who are near Oklahoma, they're having their annual Brownfields conference on May 22nd, 23rd. It's still not too late to register for that. And even if you don't live in Oklahoma, it's something, if you have a travel budget and have the time and are able to go to this, it might be interesting. Mostly because there will be employers who work across state lines, and it might be interesting to get involved in seeing what some of these state brownfields conferences are like. There are several states that hold them. Florida's got the biggest one. Oklahoma's got a fairly large one with quite a few sessions for property owners, bankers, attorneys, environmental professionals, nonprofit organizations, architects. If you have a chance, and we put this in the notes, you can go to their website, oklahomabrownfields.com, and register. I think there is a fee for doing that, but you might find it well worth attending. As far as grant opportunities, at this point, and we've talked about this in previous sessions, the Department of Labor is probably on the federal level at least, is probably the place that has requests for proposals going through the year. Within the Department of Labor, the Employment and Training Administration is the office that has most of the grant money. They do have an RFP out through the Office of Disabled Employment and the Employment and Training Administration for unemployed and underemployed individuals with disabilities. Now, there might be a way you may want to lever your brownfields training with disabled training, or you may want to look for people in your community or in your state that would be going after this money, and you may want to link up with them, partner, or provide additional environmental training that would be part of their grant program. So while you may not go, this is a $20 million grant assistance program, very large, will probably go to large organizations, but it can be an opportunity where if you find someone in your community that's going after this money, you may want to contact them and indicate that you'd be interested in partnering with them on an environmental component, and that you're doing environmental job training and you may be interested in working with people with disabilities as part of your training. There is also a May 21st due date, which is right on us. That's with it's a $330,000 grant request for training women in apprenticeship and non-traditional occupations, which environmental education and training is a non-traditional occupation. Again, while you may not go directly after this money, you may check around to see if anyone in your community or in your state is going after these funds. Maybe worthwhile, again, partnering with them. A big part of success in this program is partnering with people. Last week we had a great session with Tony Wood for Texas A&M. He's with the National Spill Control School. And Tony's program is pretty much self-supporting, not through necessarily EPA funding, but through other organizations who provide them with grants and training monies for specific courses in oil spill prevention, HAZMAT and HAZWOPER, incident command and management courses, hurricane preparedness, disaster drills, industrial safety. And he gave a lot of tips, and in terms of his orientation is primarily in the incident response spill control area. They came out of the Katrina disaster and have worked very very intensively with the oil companies and spill prevention. They're interested in getting involved in brownfields and working with unemployed and unemployable individuals, but they feel to get into that they need some assistance. So they're not doing some of the traditional curriculum that our grantees are doing, but they would like to move in that area. He did suggest that everyone should look into the ICS, the Incident Command System program, and the National Incident Management System. It's called NIMS. If you're interested in spill response and disaster control, these are programs that are given free. The curriculum is free, and they're all about determining when there's an emergency, who takes over in that emergency, who has responsibility for certain activities, and how that organization takes place. You may not have specific spill or spill response control program, but again, you may find that the curriculum and the information that's available is very useful in setting up your program. All the time we talk about latching on to materials that are out there, and this is going to kind of lead us into this whole idea of curriculum. And we've had many people asking us, do you have curriculum for the old program called Brownfields Environmental Job Training Program? Now it's called the Environmental Job Development, Workforce Development, and Training Program. do you have a standard curriculum that we can teach? And we repeatedly indicate to them, no, no such curriculum exists, nor has the thinking been that they want it to exist. The emphasis is on this program is to determine what the local needs for training are, and then to customize courses and core competencies and offerings to meet the needs of your local community. And while some training is universal across the entire United States, the rest of it can vary dramatically. And we only have a certain number of hours in these programs to prepare our students for, so we have to pick and choose what courses we're going to teach. Now, EPA has made some mandates in terms of things that they feel everyone needs to have, and these curriculum are pretty constant across the United States, namely the 40-hour HAZWOPER. It's called 1910-120. It's an OSHA course that it's about health and safety in, when you're working with hazardous materials. And there is a standard course for that. And that curriculum is readily available. And we suggest that there are several places you can get it. If you come to the annual meeting, people from NIHS who are responsible for that curriculum will be there and talk about the curriculum. You can visit the NIHS site, and that we'll put that in the session notes. And within that site, there's a National Clearinghouse for Worker Health and Safety Training. And within that spot on their site, they have curriculum catalog for all kinds of curriculum that have been developed by NIHS that are available. And you can click onto the clearinghouse, and you can go to the curriculum catalog, and you can find, you know, work your way through that and find all kinds of curriculum for health and safety training. You can also attend the Train the Trainer programs that are put on by NIHS, an organization called PEAT has a program called CCHST, and they have a boot camp every year. GLOW, is that, do you know if that is filled this year?
Yeah, it is full. It is full. It's been full now for, gosh, over a month.
Mm-hmm.
It usually fills up pretty quickly.
Oh, you can contact them and see. Did someone just join?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. This is Houston from North Lamar Contractors Alliance, Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah, man, I had my days mixed up. I'm sorry. I just had to call in, though, to catch the last of it.
That's fine. That's fine. We're talking about curriculum. We're talking about health and safety curriculum. That if you need that, one of the questions people ask is that curriculum all across the country, people ask, do you have a curriculum for this program? And really, the curriculum is, they want that to be determined in each community depending on what the people in that community want, what the employers want in that community. There are some exceptions, like health and safety training. The HAZWOPER, of course, is one. And one of the 1910-120, we're saying that, and we'll put these in the post-session notes, it's available from NIHS, from the clearinghouse. And you can also send a trainer to the Train the Trainer program from CCCHST. They're a NIHS grantee, and they train trainers so that those trainers can then go out and train people in their community. That's one approach. And what GLOW had indicated was that program is filled this year, but you may want to consider it for next year. You may also get from that program a list of the certified trainers who you may want to work with to teach your training. These are people who have gone through the program and are well-versed. There are other alternatives also. OAI out of Chicago, and we'll put their contact information. They also do Train a Trainer, and they are also an NIHS grantee. And they will also put on, not only, I think, will they put on NIHS Haslauber training, but they will put on Train the Trainer training. So you can also get it from them. And also some, quite a few labor organizations also have that program available. So to get the mandated training you need for a 40-hour, there are several sources that we're going to we'll put in post-session notes. But after you get past that, now we're talking about a whole series of courses that you may want to present. And there are a whole lot of OSHA courses, and there are some EPA courses. You know, the EPA courses are things like RR&P, the renovation, that's the lead renovation, repair, and painting. There's lead, asbestos, radon, mold, environmental justice, bloodborne pathogens, a whole lot of EPA-oriented courses. And then, of course, all of the OSHA courses. And there are, I don't know if there are hundreds of them, but there are tens of courses. And you can get certificates and cards in all sorts of courses. Most of our grantees will take that general industry course. It could range from 10 hours to 30 hours. It's called General Industry. Give them an appreciation for health and safety in industry. Many will take confined space, forklift training, fall protection, those OSHA courses. Most all of our grantees will teach CPR and first aid. Something that's good for all the students to have. But, you know, you have limited hours that you could teach, and that's the tough part. So what you really need to do is talk to the people in your community, and really it's almost like asking employers what type of training would you like and what's most in demand, and then suiting your curriculum to that and creating that curriculum. Another place to look for curriculum, and if you want some good curriculum ideas, is to go to the ATEC, Advanced Technology Environmental and Energy Center. This is located in Glow's shop, and they've done a series of projects. They have lots of training resources for environmental technicians, and then they also have a program called DACUM, which is developing a curriculum. Glow, do you want to talk a little bit about some of what you do on DACUM?
Yeah, DACUM is a way to do an occupational or a task analysis. It's a big meeting where we bring together a lot of content experts that are actually working in the field. And we brainstorm with them so that they can identify the tasks and the skills and the knowledge that's needed for a particular occupation. And then once they've identified all those things, we put it into an order so that it is in a chart form. And people then would use that chart to develop the curriculum, to develop the program, to plan an instructional program, to create job descriptions, recruit employees, all kinds of things that this chart could be used for. But it's basically a meeting where we brainstorm with the people working in the field so that when we develop curriculum, we can train the students and give them the knowledge and skills that the employer then needs them to have. So then they would be more easily hired by a company.
And okay, if you've got a community where someone says, well, I need a wastewater treatment plant operator, but I'm, you know, they're not really reluctant. They're reluctant to tell you about the skills. You can go to the ATEC DACUM. If you go to ATEC and then go DACUM, they have what they call DACUM charts, and they have one for a wastewater plant operator, and you can look that up, and it'll give you the skills that are required and skills and knowledges for that. They have a water treatment technician, spill response cleanup technician. They've got a solid waste technician. These are probably good to have just in your training folder. They have a safety and health coordinator, pollution prevention specialist, natural resource technician, hazardous materials technician. And those would give you an idea of things you may want to include in a training program. But they're, you know, when you're designing your own curriculum, there isn't a set rule on what has to be in that, except for the mandated courses. You know, when you're, as soon as you're talking about the OSHA courses, the best thing is to talk to the local OSHA people, and they'll get you in touch with all the curriculum and the trainers for the 40-hour, for all the 30-hour OSHA construction or 10-hour or the confined space courses, and it's best to work with OSHA on that and how you want to issue those certificates. For the EPA courses, if you're going to RR&P, that's a very much a mandated course. The lead, asbestos, and the RR&P, you have to have a special curriculum for that. But on these appreciation, and when we look at the grantees, all of them, of course, will do the HAZWOPR. And then after that, most of them all do the general industry course. They'll usually do that. And almost all of them will do the first aid course. And after that, there's a large diversity in what happens. Many of them, of course, if you don't have lead in your community and a lot of asbestos, if you've got refineries and things like that, the asbestos is a handy course to have. If you've got lead in your community, the RRMP, if it's in housing, is something you may want to do, or you may need a lead training course. But after that, then we start talking about general courses that might have several things in them. And, of course, for the new grantees, it's interesting because we've got the old grantees and the new grantees. In this last RFP, they said, well, there's certain things we'd like to make sure that you do cover, no matter whether you have a course on it or just an awareness course on it. And these are all of those things that they listed in the RFP, like innovative alternative treatment technologies that include bioremediation and green remediation. And they want you to talk about underground storage tanks. And they want you to talk about wastewater treatment, collection, storage, and disposal. And they want you to talk about chemical awareness. So you may need to design some extra courses, one or two that are awareness courses that cover these areas. And, of course, the question people ask is, well, where can I get the content? And you can, and there is lots of content. You can get this from EPA direct by just going to those specific offices. You can go to, and we'll put these in post-session notes, but you can go to Office of Wastewater or the Office of Underground Storage Tanks, and you can get lots of information on that. And then you would take that information and put together your own type of awareness course. Now, up in Nebraska, what you all are going to be doing a lot with perhaps underground storage tanks, right? And so,
yes.
And yep. Probably because of all the – now, are you going to be getting involved in the fracking?
I don't know yet. I'm still – I guess my board is working on that right here. It's that since that ASARCO plant contaminated all the soil with lead, and all the houses here are old Victorian tile lead houses. And then we got the $1 billion, Omaha got that $1 billion sewer separation program. So, you know, I just got turned down for that grant, you know, that was due. Yeah, I got turned down.
Well,
yes,
you know,
sir, Brownsfield.
We were just talking about that said that those who didn't meet the qualification criteria would probably get their notices now. Did they give you a reason why they turned you down?
Not really. It's just, I guess, the air pollution, the recycling, and then underground storage classes. We with META out here, and we just incorporated them into our program. That way we can, and out of my program, I got 250 disadvantaged people from the area in the organization. Out of that, I got like 120 of them certified with the EPA, and out of that, I had got 20 of them jobs already, and
wow.
Now my funding is cut, so, and now I was hoping to get that so I could continue, so it was
sure.
Just some thing, yeah.
They hopefully, now what I would suggest is talking to the EPA representative and ask them what may have been wrong with your submission. You know, maybe it sounded like there was something in your qualification criteria. And, you know, the ones that were turned down early, it didn't even get to the ranking criteria. It was just maybe something
yeah.
in your
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh,
I don't know
okay.
where Mike is. Mike, are you there?
I'm like, Mike hung up on me too.
I have no idea what happened there. But we have gone a little bit over, so I think Mike wants to keep these to like 30 minutes or so. So.
Oh, okay.
So in 2 weeks we'll be doing it again, and hopefully you can join us, okay?
All right. Thank you. Tell Mike I said bye.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.